scientists create first living organism from artificial DNA. And now, that sounds pretty interesting. It sounds like just what they said, that scientists put together artificial DNA and they zapped it with something, maybe like Frankenstein zapping his creation with the lightning bolts, and they started saying, "It's alive, it's alive," and they created the first living organism from artificial DNA. Well, here's the problem with that. The headline is a little misleading. I'll scratch that. It's a lot misleading. The headline should have read, "Scientists modify existing organism with artificial DNA." And here's the point. They try to imply that they've created life. And this is kind of the holy grail among biologists, that they're going to create life, because they believe that if they can spend a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort into creating life, that'll prove that life can happen by chance with no intelligence at all. And it's an effort to disprove God and disprove the Bible that says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when you, and of course, beyond that, that he created all the life forms that are here in this world. But basically, what they did, and part of what they did really is a very interesting thing, and it is a milestone in genetic engineering. Basically, DNA molecules that are inside of every cell in your body have a structure that uses what they call base pairs. And there's A, T, C, and G. These are the letters that make up the alphabet that the code in your genes are written in your DNA, that tells the DNA and tells a cell then from the instructions from the DNA how to build a new cell, how to build a new organism. And it's these four letters, A, T, C, and G. They stand for various bases. And beyond that, in the DNA molecule, it's a spiral helix. And if you look at it, think of like a ladder, just a regular ladder, not a step ladder, but a regular ladder with two sides, and then the rungs going up the middle. And then if you held the bottom of the ladder and somebody held the top of the ladder, and let's say that you the ladder was made out of aluminum instead of wood so it doesn't break, and you started twisting so that you bent the metal, and you twisted, you turn it clockwise and the other guy turns it the other way so that the ladder twists into a spiral shape, okay? Now, if you can picture that, that's a picture of a DNA molecule, very rough picture of one, and the rungs on the ladder that connect the two sides of the DNA molecule, those rungs would be composed of these bases, the A, T, C, and G. Now, one would be on one side and the other would be on the other side to make what they call the base pairs. And so, for instance, if on the left-hand side of the ladder, you had the base pair A, and then on the right-hand side of the ladder, you could have the base T, and that would form a base pair A and then T. Now, A always combines with T, and T always combines with A. And then likewise, the other two, C and G, C always combines with G, and G always combines with C. You never get an A combining with a G or a T combining with a C or something like that. Always A to T and C to G. So you only have these two base pairs available with these four letters, A, T, C, and G. And I'm trying to simplify this without going into all the chemical names and everything. But what happened is these scientists, they built on over 15 years of work. Now, this is again to show that all this could happen by chance with no intelligent design and no intelligent intervention. They got an E. coli bacterium. You ever hear when you see the recalls on salads or something like that because they're contaminated with E. coli and people get sick? Well, E. coli is a very common bacterium, and they took an existing E. coli bacterium, and they came up with two new DNA bases to make a pair, a new base pair, two molecules. And here we don't have A, T, C, and G. We have the first one called D5-SICS and the second one called DNAM. We don't need to get into all the details, but we'll just call it for short D5 and DN. Well, D5 only joins to DN, just like A only joins to T and C only joins to G and all the way through. And they were able to successfully splice in a base pair of D5 and DN into the E. coli DNA. And by overcoming, as they put it here, in fact, a quote from the article, after leaping through a series of highly complex technical problems, the study authors finally managed to pull off their goal, the fashioning of a half-synthetic organism that could actually replicate its unnatural self as long as the scientists continually supplied it with the necessary molecular material. In other words, through a great deal of effort and a lot of trial and error and a lot of thought going into this, they got E. coli bacterium to successfully replicate itself and copy and replicate this artificial base pair of the D5 and the DN. And it only did that, though, as long as the scientists constantly tweaked the solution that it was living in to make sure it had the right stuff so that it could replicate and build those base pairs. All of that, of course, to prove that life could arise purely by chance with no intelligence involved, right? That seems to make sense. Again, all they did was modify an existing organism with an artificial DNA base pair. And while it's an amazing feat of genetic engineering that may have potential for some other things, good and bad, which I won't get into right now, it is hardly scientists creating the first living organism from artificial DNA. And of course, it's trumpeted in the major media that way because people want to explain away God. They do not want God to be necessary for the origin of life in our universe. And that's a direct attack, as I said, on God and His Word, because we know from the Bible, Genesis 1, as I quoted earlier in chapter 1 and verse 1, where it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And as we went down through there, it said specifically in verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed was in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself and after his kind. God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, in that seed was these DNA molecules, and God provided everything in this new earth to be able to provide the necessary chemicals, molecules, for that DNA to replicate and produce these, you know, allow these plants to be able to reproduce and produce more plants. And we see that still happening today. And then, of course, in Genesis 1 and verse number 20, it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And again, they were told to multiply and to fill the waters. And so the same thing. And then on the sixth day, the Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good.